Chapter 18, 12 May 1937. Matt had returned to Egypt 2 weeks ago, and Hannah was relieved to be settling back into a peaceful routine without him. She was tidying up the rockery in front of the dining room window when she heard the phone ring. A moment later, Edna was calling her in.
"Hannah?"
Franklin's voice was charged with emotion.
"Yes, what is it, Franklin?"
Mid-morning was an unusual time to hear from him. "The twins are well, I hope?"
"Yes, it's Dorothy. Hannah, she's gone."
"Gone where?" She was kicking herself then for being such a crass idiot.
"Gone away. She's left me. She says she isn't coming back."
It took her so long to reply, Franklin's voice came again.
"Hannah, are you there?"
"Yes. Do you know where she's gone?"
"She's gone off with another man. Run away with him. I can't believe it."
Hannah went cold, then hot. She was shocked, but knowing Dorothy, had no difficulty believing it.
"What about the children?"
"They're here. She hasn't taken them. But she's taken Gladys, the new housemaid, with her, and it's left her short-staffed. The nursery maid left a month or so ago, and we haven't been able to get a replacement. Nanny's finding it hard to manage on her own, and with Dorothy gone, it's a lot of responsibility."
"I'll help you find somebody," Hannah soothed.
"It's practically impossible these days."
"You could borrow Edna as a temporary measure. She's a good all-round help."
"Could I?"
She heard the relief in his voice.
"Have you rung Eunice? She'll need to know.
Warn her in case of questions from the press. They're both in London." Hannah was missing Hugo's company, but he'd said he'd not stay much more than a week. He had business matters to see to.
"I know. I tried to, but she was out at one of her committees."
Franklin sounded despondent.
"She'll be upset."
"Franklin, we're all upset. Did you—"
"Yes, I spoke to Hugo. He suggested I ask you. Said you'd be the best person to help with the children. Do you mind?"
"I'll be glad to, Franklin. I'll come right away."
Hannah put the phone down and sat staring into space, warming towards Hugo because he'd remembered how she felt about children. Her first reaction had been to go up and see how she could help, taking Edna with her. But of course she'd have to ask the maid, and if she was going to stay, she'd need some time to pack. It occurred to her that Hugo would know what she really wanted and would expect her to ask for it. Perhaps Franklin would allow her to bring the twins here instead. Might even prefer it. She could see to their well-being more easily than he could. He had to see to his business as well as the girls. She felt fluttery with anticipation as she reached again for the phone.
"Take them to Oak Ridge? I don't know. Without the nanny?"
"You'll need her to look after the girls, Franklin."
He sounded as though he was beyond making decisions, but he didn't object. It would take her an hour or so to drive up there, and meantime he could be thinking about it. She told Edna to put her hat and coat on and come with her. Franklin's housekeeper spoke in shocked whispers, as though the household had been bereaved. Franklin was even more distraught than Hannah had supposed. She couldn't mention Dorothy's name without causing his eyes to shine with unshed tears. He couldn't sit down, couldn't even keep still when he spoke to her. She'd never felt close to Franklin. She thought him blinkered not to see Dorothy for what she was. Foolish to think of marrying any girl of her age. Now she felt a rush of sympathy. He'd loved Dorothy, and she knew how painful it was to be rejected by someone you love. She'd been through it herself.
"My housekeeper had the nerve to tell me Dorothy had been packing for a week," he complained. "She might have warned me."
"Probably didn't realize she was keeping it from you."
Hannah was trying to make him see reason.
"So she said. Even so, Dorothy waited till I went to work yesterday. She let him bring his car to the door and had everybody helping to carry her things out. She's no shame."
"Who is he? Do you know?"
"Yes, it's Duncan Grieve. I know his father quite well. He owns Teddington Mill. We've been going over to play bridge at their place quite often. Dorothy didn't play, of course. She used to sit and watch. She met Duncan there. Hannah, he's years younger than me.
Poor Franklin, she thought. This morning he'd passed for 60. His shoulders were bowed, his prominent teeth biting on his lip. But he's the same age as Dorothy. Hannah counted up the years. She'd be about 31 or so.
Perhaps a year or two older.
Hannah kept a firm hold on her tongue. There was nothing she could say to comfort him. Franklin had always been too set in his ways for Dorothy. He was only a few years younger than Matt.
"Do you think she'll come back to me?"
Hannah did not, but thought it wiser not to say so. Franklin had the look of a man who feels his whole life has collapsed about him. "Do you want her back after this?"
"Yes, of course. How can I manage without her? And the children, the poor children, the twins not sleeping through the night. They're difficult to feed."
"Let me take them home with me. I'll be able to give them all the attention they need. I love having them, Franklin. I'll keep them safe for as long as you like." He was nodding his agreement, sunk in his own misery.
"They're too young to know what's happening to them."
"What about the girls? Do you want—"
"They are some consolation to me, some company. Besides, the older ones are settled at school. It wouldn't help them to be taken away. Nanny can manage if she doesn't have the twins to see to."
"It won't be long before patients start school, too," Hannah said cheerfully.
"They're upset, of course. Poor children. They're missing their mother, too."
Hannah could not help but be moved by his agony, but she knew his children would fare better than Elizabeth had. At least they still had a father who cared.
"Such a scandal. It's all over town. I can hardly bear to go to the mill. Everybody's talking about it."
"You must, Franklin. Don't put it off. It'll be even harder if... Will they come back here to live?"
She knew she'd shocked him. "After all this fuss."
"If he has a mill here..."
"No, no, it belongs to his father. Duncan worked for him. He has nothing."
"Then how will they live?" Hannah bit her lip. She knew without going any further.
"Her grandfather, Sir Hugo, has seen to that."
His voice was bitter.
"I asked him not to give Dorothy more money. I never liked the idea of her having her own. Thanks to him, she can afford to keep Duncan Grieve in comfort for the rest of his life."
Hannah winced. Now she was seeing what Franklin was really like, set in his ways, wanting his wife to be completely dependent on him.
"I wish Hugo hadn't interfered. He knew Dorothy would want for nothing. He's got far too much money, and all he ever thinks about is making more. He thinks it can buy anything."
Hannah rushed to support him. "Sir Hugo is well known for his philanthropy."
"Sir Hugo, that's another thing. He bought himself that knighthood. Eunice didn't like being plain Mrs."
"No, Franklin, it was awarded for services to the community." Hannah had heard Eunice say she considered the knighthood conferred on her husband to be very much inferior to the baronetcy her father had inherited.
"He's always been hand in glove with Lloyd George. It's well known he sold honours. 10,000 is what he asked for a knighthood. Disgusting thing to do."
"If Hugo was buying an honour, he'd have gone for a peerage," Hannah said sharply. "We all heard peerages were going for 100,000. You said yourself he has more money than he knows how to spend."
Franklin was staring at her tight-lipped. "Eunice should never have married him. He's really not one of us."
She knew Franklin was pointing out that they came from the class of traditional 19th-century wealth and privilege, and Hugo did not. "I'm sorry. This isn't the time to argue about such things. Hugo will do all he can to help, I'm sure. He'll be upset, too."
"Upset because it'll reflect on him. He won't welcome the scandal either."
"No," Hannah sighed, remembering how she and Matt had tried to spare him this all those years ago. This time there was nothing anybody could do about it. But she drove home in high excitement. Behind her, on the back seat, she could hear the twins whimpering softly, and Edna making clucking noises to them. She felt ashamed to be finding pleasure in their company when Franklin had been so upset. The scandal was splashed on the front pages of the national newspapers the next morning. There were photographs of Sir Hugo and Lady Mortimer, and photographs of Dorothy and Franklin, some taken at the time of their wedding. Hannah knew Franklin would be horrified to see them. From where Hannah sat in her small sitting room, she could see the big twin prams swaying slightly as the babies settled down for their morning nap. When the weather was fine, she put them out in the garden under the trees. A week had gone by. The news about Dorothy had resulted in a lot of telephone calls and had brought Hugo and Eunice back to Wynn's Hall from their London home in Albany. They had come together to Oak Ridge to discuss the problem. "Have you heard from Matt?" It was always Eunice's first question. It made Hannah realize he wrote even less often to his mother. He was a methodical man who wrote to Hannah on the first of every month. "He had a good journey back, but says the heat is awful at this time of the year. He's at Knossos now on Crete. There's still a lot of work to be done there. He's enjoying it." She poured coffee for Hugo. He was pulling a face about Matt. "He'll have to know about Dorothy. Such bad news." Eunice dabbed at her eyes with a fragment of lace. "I blame this Duncan Grieve. He must have talked her into it. He must have some hold over her. He's an evil man. How could she have fallen into his clutches?"
"I didn't know he was a Member of Parliament," Hannah replied. "Franklin said he had nothing but what his father paid him."
"Bringing disgrace on the Mortimer name. I can't bear to open the newspapers these days."
"You don't have to," Hugo said. "Anyway, her name's Flower, has been for years.
Every paper points out you're her grandfather. They're very hard on her again this morning, saying she's abandoned her children."
"She has," Hannah said, and couldn't keep the note of satisfaction creeping into her voice. Having the twins had brought new purpose to her life. She even liked to hear them cry. They were bringing this warren of a house to life. At the turn of the century, an army of servants had been employed to run it. Soon she would have only two daily women. She couldn't let Eunice know that Edna had given in her notice. She was going to get married, and her husband-to-be was a policeman who had been allocated a police house in the suburbs of Liverpool. Already most of Hannah's own day was spent looking after the babies, and she was loving it. Eunice was staring disdainfully at the playpen in the corner of the room.
"A bit young for that, aren't they?"
"It's a safe place to put them down," Hannah faltered. "There's two, you see."
"I'll take them home."
Eunice got up, sucking in her breath painfully as her weight went on her bunions, "to make sure they're properly looked after." She limped to the pram just outside the French window.
"I can do so much more for them."
"No," Hannah jerked her feet in alarm. "They are being properly looked after. You can see they are."
"Just a peep at them in their pram," Eunice sniffed. "You've no experience of children, Hannah, and neither has that girl you've got to help you. I've had Matt, and I virtually brought Dorothy up after her mother died."
"Not much of a recommendation," Hugo grunted. "Be too much for you now, Eunice."
"Of course they won't. I'll get a trained nanny."
"You'll want to go back to London soon, and Albany isn't ideal for babies."
Once he'd owned a house in Cadogan Square, but when it became difficult to get live-in staff, that had become too much for Eunice too. It had been easier to take rooms in Albany. It meant they could no longer have guests to stay while they were in London, but that didn't seem too great a price to pay.
"Far too much for you, Eunice. The babies will be better off here with Hannah. Anyway, he can't possibly take them without Franklin's permission, and he wouldn't want them to go to London, would he? He'd never see them there. Too far."
Hannah felt a wave of gratitude, but Hugo's eyes wouldn't meet hers. "Having them here has made all the difference to me, Eunice. I've always wanted children of my own. I feel alive." Eunice was staring at her aggressively. Hannah was afraid she meant to take them.
"There's no question of us taking them away, Hannah,"
Hugo said gently. She felt relief stealing over her. Outside in the garden, the pram began to shake, and she heard an infant's cry. She ran out to bring the babies in. Pierce was the stronger, slightly bigger, with a slow, wide smile. Paul's limbs seemed always to be kicking and punching. He needed less sleep and cried more. Hannah hugged them both, delighting in the scent of baby powder and warm milk. It made her think about Hugo when he'd gone. Usually he treated her with warmth and friendliness, yet occasionally she sensed him withdraw from her. She felt it was deliberate, but he wanted to keep his distance. She didn't like it. It was hurtful when it happened, but Hugo would turn up again on her doorstep a few days later, and it wouldn't be mentioned. They'd have a cup of tea and a laugh, and she'd be sure once again that he was the closest friend she had. She decided to thank him, let him know how grateful she was, and how much she was enjoying having the twins in her house. She went out the hall and reached for the phone. It rang before her fingers closed on it, making her jump. "Hello? Hannah, it's Clarissa." She sounded slightly breathless. It took her a moment to reply. Her mind was still on Hugo.
"Clarissa, how nice to hear from you."
"I just had to let you know. Peggy O'Malley is home for a few days, quite grown up now."
"She's the older girl who went to Crewe?"
"Yes, and she heard from Lizzie and Joey. I saw her walking with the younger O'Malleys into Penaclip. She was wearing a very smart cardigan, and when I admired it, said they had sent it for her birthday."
Hannah was gasping. In her life, months passed when nothing happened. Now things seemed to be moving faster.
"They are together, then?"
"Yes, and in Birkenhead. I asked about Lizzie, and Peggy said she had a good job, that they both had good jobs and were enjoying themselves."
"Did you get the address?"
She was defensive the moment I asked. If she knows, she wasn't saying. "I did try, Hannah. I know that's what you want. I couldn't get it out of her."
"That'll be Joey's idea. Probably told her to keep quiet. He's determined I won't find Lizzie, and cleverer than I thought at stopping any leak.
Peggy thinks they're doing very well for themselves."
"If only we knew where they were."
Hannah tried to think. Since Dorothy had run off so publicly with another man, it was surely pointless to try to hide her earlier lapse. Her reputation was already in shreds. There was no reason now to hide Lizzie's existence. Hannah could invite her openly to the house. Now there was no reason why the rest of the family should ignore her.
"You've no need to worry about her, Hannah. She's all right."
"By O'Malley's standards, I expect she is. Clarissa, have you heard about Dorothy?"
"Read all about it in the papers. A full-blown scandal this time, and him a Member of Parliament. After all we did for her."
Hannah suddenly felt as though she was choking.
"Yes, we put Lizzie through all that. Deprived her of love, care, a decent education, everything. All for nothing. That's what it adds up to.
You mustn't blame yourself, Hannah."
"I can't help it.
Matt and Dorothy herself are far more to blame."
"Oh, I know, but I would like to find her. She deserves better than she's had. Come and stay with me for a few days, Clarissa. I've got Dorothy's twins here. You'll love them. Lizzie's half-brothers."
"I'd love to, but it's summer again, and Leo's busy time. In the autumn, perhaps. I could help you look for Lizzie."
"I've tried, but it's not that easy. Not like Penaclip, where everybody knows everybody else. I'll tell Hugo about her. He'll know what to do."
For once, Hugo was deliberately letting his mind dwell on Hannah. To do so gave him pleasure and blotted out the chaos Dorothy was causing. The phone never stopped ringing. Journalists kept intruding. Even Beaverbrook, who claimed friendship, telephoned. But since he owned the Express, Hugo was wary of speaking to him. He felt hounded. Eunice complained that neighbours and strangers approached her, asking if details they'd heard, usually scandalous details, were true. He was tired of telling her to speak to no one. There had been a new radiance about Hannah this morning, making her achingly beautiful. Hugo was afraid what he felt must be imprinted on his face, and could not understand why it was not so obvious to Eunice. But her mind was on Dorothy. She felt betrayed by her, and could not stop lamenting. He'd instructed his housekeeper to answer all calls and say he was busy elsewhere. She came to the dining room while they were eating lunch. "Mrs. Hannah Mortimer says she'd like a word with you, sir," she told him. His hand jerked because he'd been thinking of her, and he leapt to his feet more quickly than he should have done. Eunice's voice followed him querulously.
"Why don't you ring her back when we've finished eating?"
Hannah's voice was soft.
"Hugo, I wanted to thank you. I'm so grateful for your help."
He felt mesmerized.
"What help?"
"Eunice wanting to take Piers and Paul. You insisted they stay with me."
"Quite right, too. They'd tire her out."
"Something else has come up. I'd like to know what you think. Have your advice."
"I'm flattered. What about?"
"I can't explain over the phone. It's a long and complicated story. Could you come back to Oakridge? Alone, please, Hugo."
He took a deep breath to steady himself.
"Are you free this evening? Could you come round for a drink?"
"Of course, Hannah. 6 o'clock, all right?"
"Yes, fine. See you then."
He put the phone down very slowly, hardly able to believe it. There was nothing he wanted to do more, but he'd have to keep himself on a tight rein.